Well, on this Easter Sunday, as you might imagine, our scripture is one of our resurrection passages. It's always fun. Between the four Gospels, of course, we have the different witnesses, different angles, different elements of the resurrection. And today we hear from the Gospel of John. We've been looking through different encounters all through the Gospel of John in this season of Lent leading up to today. And so we pick up the story in John chapter 20. It tells us early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. Didn't he love all of his disciples? Right? A lot of people think this is John, the gospel writer, giving himself some props, by the way. They say, oh yeah, he loved me most. All right. And said to them, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him. Well, then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. And the two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter. See, he's doing it again, right? And he reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. Now he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me. Tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not hold on to me, because I've not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She told them that he had said these things to her. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, gracious God, we are grateful for your resurrection, for the different encounters told to us through the Gospels, and we would pray for our own encounters in this moment, that your spirit would move, and we would hear you call our names once again. Good teacher, bless and lead us, guide us and enrich us. Awaken us, O Lord, to you this day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, we've been doing a series throughout all of Lent, a series called Awakenings. And it's been centered on these different encounters Jesus has, different people that he runs into. We started with Nicodemus, an important religious figure who comes at night into the cover of darkness to ask questions of the teacher, and he discovers that Jesus is more than he bargained for, and that he's here not to condemn, but to save, and that there's something about being born again, born from above, he learns. And then we found the Samaritan woman at the well, the woman that nobody would talk with, but Jesus does. And she's thirsty for real relationships and life, and Jesus says he is the one to provide it. He is living water, and he will make her into a fountain of living water to flow. She becomes the first missionary for Jesus, sharing with her whole village this amazing man she met. She's awakened to grace in his life. Then we met the crippled man at the pool who'd been there for 38 years, waiting to be healed, stuck in his ways. Jesus heals him, body and soul, and calls him into new life. Every one of these encounters, there's an awakening, a turning, a change in these people. Because that's what Jesus is up to. Throughout our series, there's been this phrase, and I want to bring it up again today. It's one of my favorite quotes from N.T. Wright. He says, you know, part of Jesus' mission was to bring the life of heaven to birth on earth. I just love that imagery, that idea. Part of Jesus' mission was to bring the life of heaven to birth on earth, not to prepare us for beyond, but to bring us to life, taste heaven right here. Begin that heavenly kingdom life unfolding in this moment. We caught the woman caught in adultery was brought before Jesus. And we looked into that story and found, of course, everyone was caught in that moment in their own weakness and brokenness. And they recognized in Jesus there was not condemnation, but grace, and a call to new life. All these encounters, Lazarus and the rest, everyone, there's an awakening, a change, as they began to taste and to understand that Jesus was bringing something new, life like they'd never experienced it before, not bound by the strictures of the law, but opened up by the grace of God, something bigger, more full than they ever imagined. That's why I want to show a clip this morning from the movie who's got a namesake to our series, Awakenings. It was a movie many years ago. How many of you caught Awakenings, by the way? All right, not many of you. You should watch it sometime. It's a powerful film, Oscar Award winner. And the clip you're about to see, it's about this doctor who's trying to awaken these patients who have this very rare disease that leaves them catatonic. They're awake, they're alive, but stuck. Not truly alive, it seems. And finally, the scene we're about to see is where he's gotten permission to give a dose of a certain drug that he's trying out for everybody, every one of the patients he's been dealing with, trying to get through to them, trying to awaken them. And the drug is taking hold. Take a look.
Where are my glasses?
They're on your face.
Oh, thank you.
Who are you?
Thank you for coming. You see things a little different today.
Miriam!
Miriam! Good morning.
Come on,
Miriam.
Look at that.
Miriam,
Miriam. Come on, Miriam.
Gustav, Mr. Menti.
You don't need this
one.
Who's he?
I had the strangest dream.
I have to take your blood pressure.
I've been sitting for 25 years. You missed your chance.
Are you okay? I need some makeup.
Okay, I think we can take care of that.
And I need some dye for my hair. Black.
Black? Rose, are you sure?
Yes, it's always been black.
Doctor, say something about fruit trees.
From the fruit trees.
I will.
How's it look for them?
I want a steak, rare. Mashed potatoes and gravy, string beans.
I was aware of things, but nothing meant anything to me. There was no connection to me. It was a war or two. This morning, I went to the bathroom all by myself.
Do it.
I think I liked him better the other way.
They had been people asleep for decades. And now they were waking up. Waking up and experiencing life as it was meant to be lived. And it was exhilarating. And for every one of them, there was a different way to begin experiencing it. And I love that scene and that the whole tenor of the film, because that's exactly what Jesus is up to. He's come into the world to awaken us to the reality of God in the world, to the reality of God's kingdom, and to life big and full. He says it in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. What we've been living without Jesus was a poor imitation. It was almost like sleepwalking. It wasn't full, abundant life, but now that Christ has come, now it's real life. Life full, blossoming, flowering in glorious ways. We see it in our scene this morning in John 20, particularly in Mary. Everything's dark. It's early. She's come in her grief, her sadness to bear witness, to take care of the body, and the body is gone, and it is like the worst April Fool's joke ever for her at this moment. How could somebody have stolen his body? She just wants to take care of it. The whole scene starts in darkness and confusion, and the body's gone, and she runs, and there's Peter and John, and come help me find them, and they come, and he's not there. And then it's beginning to dawn a little bit, it seems, and it says they saw and believed, but they didn't understand completely. It was just awakening little by little. But Mary's still in darkness. Mary's still stuck, staring at that empty tomb. Perhaps that's some of us sometimes too, where we're stuck looking at the regrets, the frustrations, the disappointments of our past. Stuck on the darkness there. Not realizing there is new life, a new beginning ahead. And there's Mary. And I'd never noticed it before, but reading and studying the passage this week, there's Mary, and twice there is this turning for Mary. But the first time, it's her turning to the tomb, and the angels are there now. And there's a glimmer of hope. Why are you crying? And then she turns to the gardener, to Jesus. But she doesn't know who it is, right? She can only think, it must be a gardener. Who else would be here at this hour? And perhaps it's still dark enough. Perhaps she's just crying so hard she can't really recognize him. It almost seems like she asks him the question and then turns away again. Like, hey, where, do you have him? Where is he? I just want to take care of them. And then there's that phrase. It says Jesus called her name, Mary. And she turns to him. I wonder how long that turn took. That turn from the darkness and the despair of the moments and hearing her name and the risen Lord to turn to him. One of my favorite commentators, he says this. He says that as Mary turned and saw Jesus, it was as if the world was also turning on its axis just slightly. As she turned 1 second into her turn, it was as though the world had shifted from B.C., before Christ, to A.D., Anno Domini, year of our Lord. 1 second before, Mary had been this woman agonizing in the depths of sadness. And a second later, Mary is experiencing the highest possible human joy imaginable in a moment. Turning. It all happened in the turn. From the darkness of the tomb to the light of the risen Christ. Mary was the first person in history to see the risen Lord. Risen from the dead. Can you imagine what that felt like? The joy. Maybe it's something akin to when our children are born and there's new life. Maybe it's that's probably just an approximation. But even more amazing is this. She got to hear Jesus call her name. Oh, I wish we had a recording of that. I wish I could hear the tone, the tenderness, the love in Jesus' voice as he calls to Mary. Now, I've never heard Jesus call my name out loud, not audibly. Man, I would love to hear that. I can only imagine it's something like when someone you love dearly and maybe has been gone for a time, when you hear their voice once again and they call your name, that your heart leaps a little. Maybe it was something like that. Have you heard Jesus call out your name? Maybe not audibly, but maybe within your soul, something has stirred for you somewhere in your life. Perhaps it was in the midst of darkness and mourning and grief, but there was a glimmer, a twinkling that you knew, I'm not alone in this. God, Jesus is here with me. I want you to imagine for a second. You're there in that moment, there at the tomb. And it seems all darkness, but then Jesus speaks and he calls your name. He calls your name. Because that's what Jesus is doing as he comes as a risen Lord. He's calling out to every one of us and saying, turn to me. Turn to me. I have full life for you. I've conquered everything. There's nothing to fear anymore. We feared death most of all, and he said, forget about it. I've taken care of it. It still exists, but it's not the last word. It's not the end of the story. I get the end of the story, says Jesus. And I call out your name. I call you to new life. But it's not just about life sometime later. It's not just about kingdom, heaven life beyond. It's about life now. It's about living into a kingdom reality that is unfolding. Resurrection isn't just what happened to Jesus. It began with him, but now resurrection is what's happening in each life as we turn to him and respond and follow after him and then follow in his ways. It's what he called Mary to. It's what he called his disciples to and the you and I. He says, now live in the ways of the kingdom I've shown you. and resurrection will be tasted and experienced day by day. I think that's why the story of Loyola basketball and Sister Jean has been so captivating. Don't you think? Yeah, it's about a Cinderella story and a basketball team that, you know, nobody thought was going to be there and they kept winning. But more than anything else, people were captivated by Sister Jean. A 98-year-old nun. Isn't that awesome? I loved it. Did you see? They were holding press conferences for Sister Jean. They would, now this is a little sad, I thought. They had these, you know, press moments going on, like different players on the team, and they'd have like three reporters sitting there asking them questions, and Sister Jean would have a packed house, right? It's like, wait, it's about basketball, isn't it? But I think what was going on is there was this spirit about Sister Jean. There was this life to her, this sparkle that people were touched by and drawn to. Because, of course, she understands resurrection and new life. She's been living into it for decade upon decade. And it's captivating. Glimmers of the kingdom here on earth in Sister Jean. Now, I want to introduce you to one other person, Linda Wilson Allen. This is a picture of her. Linda's a bus driver out in the Bay Area. I love her story. I grew up in the Bay Area, so I like to catch little glimpses of my past from there. About 5 years ago, she was on the cover of the San Francisco Chronicle, the major newspaper outlet in the area there. And it told of her life a little bit. Her story as a mother of six who drives bus route number 45. But she's not just like any other bus driver. Linda's heard the call of her name. Christ called out to her, and she's living in faith now, responding to that call, trying to be someone who brings resurrection life into her everyday duties, into everything she does. And so the story was written because the columnist rode her bus day in and day out and just was taken by her. And she was the kind of bus driver who would learn the names of her regular passengers. She was the kind of bus driver who, once she knew her regular passengers and she would be at their stop and they weren't there yet, she would wait a few extra seconds to give them time to get on the bus. Have you met a bus driver like that? I hope so. She's the kind of bus driver who, one day, when she pulled up, she saw this elderly woman struggling with her groceries. And so she got out of her seat, and she got out of the bus, and she grabbed her groceries to help her get on the bus. By the way, that's sort of a no-no for bus drivers, actually. But she didn't care, because she knew that's the way of God's kingdom. You see somebody who needs some help, and you help. And so now that elderly woman, she'll wait for bus number 45 to show up. Other buses will get there, and she'll say, no, I'm waiting. I want Linda. Linda's the kind of bus driver who, one night on her route, she saw this young woman, Tanya, sitting on the bench of the bus stop. And she recognized she was new to the area, lost with no resources. And so she said, honey, you shouldn't be out here by yourself. It's almost Thanksgiving. Why don't you come home, kick it with me and my kids, and we'll take care of you. And they've been fast, dear friends ever since. Linda's the kind of bus driver who helps people experience resurrection and new life. She helps people awaken to the reality of God in our midst. And people want to ride that bus, I'll tell you that. And that's our call today too. It's people who have tasted of resurrection, heard the call of the risen Lord, and are lives. So then take that into everything we do so that others would taste resurrection, others would awaken to God's kingdom, God's spirit, God's presence in our midst, day in and day out. May we be people of resurrection and new life as we go out this day, friends. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Well, gracious Lord, wow. May we be inspired by Linda, a bus driver who brings your spirit's presence into every moment of the day. May we be inspired by the call you bring to our lives as you call out our names, O Lord, just as you called Mary's. May we be moved by your spirit, Lord, as resurrection people to go out on this Easter day claiming resurrection and new life and exhibiting it everywhere we go. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.